roles that the church finds itself in our text for today. That's the dilemma, if you want to call it that. Hopefully it's not too much of a dilemma by the time we're done with our sermon. But that's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. We're in this sinful world, and Jesus supposedly or seemingly is far away. But all that changes in a very profound way on the day that we celebrate today, one of the greatest days in the church year, Pentecost. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our service this day will be Divine Service, setting number 3, page 184. You will notice that we have special instructions for our opening hymn. If you please turn there real briefly here, 498 and 499. You see the instructions. The congregation will sing the odd-numbered verses of hymn 498, and the choir will do the even-numbered verses on hymn 499. So the congregation begins with verse 1, choir verse 2, so on and so forth through the hymn to verse 7, where we will stand. Otherwise, our service is straight from the hymnal, Divine Service, setting 3, page 184. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom you poured out upon your church this day in great signs and wonders, all for the sake of the proclamation of your word, that it may go forth to your church, that it may go forth to the entire world. May that word continue to sound forth from this place as your name is preached. In your holy or precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 498 and 499, congregation sings the odd-numbered verses.
Come on.
Divine Service, setting number 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Alleluia. The righteousness shall be man. They shall exalt before the Lord.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. We'll continue now the service with our second reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and whoever will come to him and make our home, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, hymn 497. Please be seated.
Thank you.
but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this great festival day, Pentecost, comes from the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 14th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. Dear friends in Christ, Judas knew that this moment was coming. Not Judas Iscariot, mind you, the other Judas that we don't remember and no one knows about. The other Judas knew that if what Jesus was telling them in the upper room on the night on which he was betrayed was actually true, that Jesus was planning to depart and ascend to the Father's throne, this would happen. He knew that the church would be huddled together, scared and alone, small and threatened, beset by a dangerous world and harassed by the devil. And so, one verse before our text, you notice our text begins with Jesus answered him, which implies that there's probably a question somewhere. Just one verse before our text, Judas, the other Judas, speaks up. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Someone has to put a stop to this nonsense. You mean to tell us, Jesus, that only those who believe are going to see you? Why not a victory tour, showing off your triumph over sin, death, and the power of the devil, showing the world that you have been raised from the dead, that you are Lord and King of all, so that everyone who sees you will bow the knee before you? If this is your plan, to leave us, to depart, then we, the church, we're going to be left walking around this planet telling people that you've been raised from the dead, telling people that you are the Son of God, telling people that you are the Lord and King of all, and you're not there. We'll be left, Jesus, calling on people to believe, simply to trust in a victory, a reality that no one can see. No one's going to believe us, Jesus. In fact, they will ridicule us. They will mock us. They will put us to death as liars and fools. They will mockingly ask us where this Jesus is, whom we preach as alive, why he doesn't show himself and confirm all these great things we're saying about him. You could have made us, Jesus, the church, and we, your followers, the greatest institution on the face of this planet, servants of the mighty Lord of heaven and earth, risen in triumph over the grave. But instead, you're telling us that we have to go out and preach a foolish message that no one is going to believe? We're going to have to tell people that this guy who died a criminal's death is not only alive, but actually sitting at the right hand of the throne of God? No one will believe us. Yes, we know the truth. We will see it with our own eyes, but my question still remains. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? We don't know the mental state of that other Judas as Pentecost morning dawned. 50 days after he saw the resurrected Jesus for the first time, 10 days after he saw the resurrected Jesus for the last time, just as Jesus promised, ascending into heaven to take his seat at the right hand of God. Perhaps the other Judas was thinking, told you so. Despite 40 days of resurrection appearances, the church is as small as it has ever been, gathered in that same upper room where Judas first asked his question. True to his word, Jesus didn't manifest himself to the entire world. He didn't go on the victory tour. Instead, he only appeared to the faithful, to believers. And now, well, he's gone. The church is left alone. They are small, insignificant, foolish, and weak. The world, both the Jews and the Romans, are ready to destroy this new religion as soon as the opportunity comes. And this is nothing next to the inner turmoil that these first Christians feel as Satan goes to work. You've heard his preaching, haven't you? God is far away, he says. He has left you, hung you out to dry, abandoned you to fend for yourself. You are alone, he whispers. Alone with those who hate you. Alone with your sufferings. Alone with your struggles. Alone with mental illness, addiction, or disease. You face death alone. God is far away, and the devil is near. God is far away, and the world is near. You're a sinner, aren't you? He tells you. Filled with filth. Your actions are bad, and your thoughts, well, they're even worse. You break every one of the commandments. Sometimes you even manage to do them all in one day. You deserve what you get, Satan says. You deserve what this sinful world deals you. God doesn't love you. He has only wrath, anger, and judgment for you. If he loved you, why did he leave? If he loved you, why did he abandon you? As Pentecost morning dawned, Judas, the other Judas, may have shaken his head and said once again, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus has an answer. He had an answer for Judas that night on which he is betrayed, and it's the same answer which endures. He cannot, he has not, and he will not leave his church alone. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the entire church was gathered together in one place, scared and alone. Alone with an impossible task before them. Alone with their sins, their guilt, their fears. And suddenly, there came into their room from heaven the sound of a mighty rushing wind filling the entire house. Perhaps some, maybe even Judas, thought that the end had come, that this little pathetic band was finished. But then tongues of fire appeared, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. the words of Jesus are fulfilled. The church is not alone. The Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus promised he would, to teach you all things. He brings nothing new, nothing novel, nothing contrary to the words of the Scriptures or the words of Jesus. He comes precisely to bring those very words, that very testimony, to teach you through the witness of the apostles and the prophets. The Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus promised, to bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said, reassuring you when the world, the devil, and your own heart assail you. He comes bearing the promises of Jesus, pouring them into your ears. The Holy Spirit comes, as promised, to tell you you are not alone, to remind you of Jesus' great promise. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You are not alone in this sinful, corrupted world. All who keep Christ's word, which is nothing other than saying all who believe, are the castle, the house, the temple of God himself, the place where God dwells in this world. You are not alone, quite the opposite. You are the dwelling place of God himself, where he has chosen to rest, where he has chosen to remain. The Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus promised, to comfort you with the very peace which Christ himself gives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that the world gives, well, it's fleeting. It's temporary. And you know it comes with a cost. The cost of living how the world wants you to live. If you want peace with the world, you better live as the world tells you to, in sin and despising God's word. The peace of Christ, on the other hand, it's a free gift, a gift that Jesus won through his bloody suffering and death and his victorious resurrection on the third day. The Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus promised, to bring you the very same peace that the risen Jesus gave to his disciples on that first Easter evening. Peace won by his wounds. Peace between creator and creature, between God and man. The dividing wall of hostility has been broken down by his shed blood. The sin which made you alone, which separated you from your God and from others, has been paid for and destroyed forever. Your sins are forgiven. You have peace. The Holy Spirit gives you that peace. In this place, in the gospel, the holy gospel read and proclaimed, the holy gospel given to you when you are washed in the waters of holy baptism, reconciling you with your God, the very gospel given in Christ's body and blood in the supper. When the world wars against you, you have peace in this place from the gifts the Holy Spirit gives. When the devil brings your sins to remembrance, the Holy Spirit comforts you from this place with the peace of the forgiveness of sins. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Pentecost has come. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you Jesus. Do not fear. Rejoice. Rejoice that Christ has departed, that he has left his disciples to walk the way of the cross. Even rejoice that he has ascended into heaven. There, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, above every rule and power enthroned, there to fill all things. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. The church rejoices that Jesus is going to the Father. There enthroned in victory, Jesus has not left you. The Holy Spirit brings you Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings the world Jesus. That impossible task set before the church to proclaim the victory of a Jesus who isn't there anymore, who no longer walks the earth, who isn't visible, is made possible only by the work of the Holy Spirit. Only because Jesus really hasn't left at all. He goes with the Word. The Holy Spirit accompanies the proclamation of the Word into the world. And it is He, the Holy Spirit, not you or me, not even a preacher, who makes the Word effective, who works faith. It is the Holy Spirit's job. Now, certainly many are not going to believe. Jesus predicted it. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. But for those who have believed, as you have believed through the power of that same Holy Spirit, Jesus has this promise again. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. As Peter declared in his Pentecost sermon, quoting from Joel, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Holy Spirit comes in that name, as Jesus promised. Yes, Jesus will depart, just as he said he would, but he leaves comfort behind him. Now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. That other Judas has been answered. Jesus will not reveal himself openly to the world after his victory, but through the Holy Spirit, his people will be comforted, and many will believe in Jesus. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we see our Lord Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith as our victor, our Savior. For Jesus went forth from these words to win the victory that overcomes every accusation of the devil, every attack of the world. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Rise, let us go from here. Jesus goes forth in victory to win the victory. The ruler of this world has no claim on Jesus, and he has no claim on you. For you are in Jesus, who triumphed over him. His accusations cannot stick. His attacks cannot triumph. For you are in Jesus. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, God himself dwells in you. And where God dwells, there Satan cannot win. Rejoice, dear friends, rejoice. For it is Jesus' joy to give you the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit's joy to give you Jesus, to give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory. found on page 192. Seated. This time, we'd like to ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please take it, sign in, and pass it along. Guests or visitors, we're very glad to have you with us this day as we celebrate this holy festival day of Pentecost. We'd ask you to provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, we receive from the bounty which our Lord Jesus has given to us, our gifts and our offerings. In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, we also remember our future vicar, AJ, and his wife, Gretel Bader, who are rejoicing in the gift, the birth of a son, Dawson. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For all baptized believers, that they would be given ears to hear and an eagerness to learn all that the Holy Spirit teaches them about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the salvation they have through Him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation and the whole church on earth, that God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we would long to keep Christ's word, dwell in his peace, sing God's praises, and love our neighbors. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who serve in Christ's church, that all pastors may faithfully preach law and gospel, all missionaries be fruitful in their labors, and all teachers be faithful in their service, so that all who call on the name of the Lord may be saved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace among the nations, for those who rule over us, for those who protect and defend us, and for freedom, that the peoples of our world may be blessed to live in peace and quietness, unhindered by threats of violence, oppression, or fear. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those afflicted in body or spirit, especially for those who have requested our prayers, that our hearts would neither be troubled nor afraid, for nothing can separate them from the love God has for them in Christ, who has overcome the ruler of this world and secured for them eternal peace in his kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice this day, especially future Good Shepherd Vicar A.J. Bader and his wife Gretel, rejoicing in the gift of a son, Dawson, born this week, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they would come in faithful reverence and awe, recognizing how awesome God is from his sanctuary in giving them the very body and blood of their Savior to eat and to drink, for the forgiveness of their sins and the strengthening of their faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have gone before us with the sign of peace and now rest from their labors, that we may follow them as they followed Christ and be found faithful by those who come after us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ, all glory, honor, and worship is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and, sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. From all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord has taught us,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take us away, Lord.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand, we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn 503. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on this day upon His church for His church's holy and everlasting comfort and consolation. Just a couple of